Our scripture passage for today comes from John chapter 18. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 18, verses 38 through 40. After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Today is a national holiday. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's one I've celebrated many times in years past. You won't get off work for it, sorry to say, but you can still participate in it if you have two things. One, a darker sense of humor, and two, a very unsuspecting person in mind. It's April Fool's Day. It's celebrated every year on the first day of April. It's a day when people play practical jokes on one another. The instigator is considered the prankster and the unsuspecting victim, the fool. Now, I find this labeling quite unfair. And actually, I would say it's an inaccurate description of what a fool actually is. A fool is not someone who is surprised, maybe it's you today, if folly befalls you. A fool would be someone whose lack of good judgment and sense would cause them to make an unwise decision or to put themselves in a really precarious situation. A fool is rarely, if ever, the victim. Here's what I mean. A fool isn't someone who would get home tonight and crawl into their bed sheets to find a fake rattlesnake under the sheets and subsequently get really scared. That's not a fool. A fool would be an instigator who thought it would be a good idea to get a real rattlesnake and put it underneath the sheets of your bed so that when you got in it, you would suffer an April Fool's prank. That person is the fool. The first person is simply the victim of surprise. The second is not a victim, but a fool making a conscious and terrible decision. A fool is simply one who lacks good judgment or sense, and consequently makes terrible decisions. The crowds in our passage today act foolishly. They lack judgment. They make a surprisingly bad choice, and it results in gross injustice. They choose Barabbas over Jesus. It was utter foolishness, a man's fate decided by a rowdy group who wanted an innocent man dead. How did it possibly come to this? Well, overtly, Pilate. But as we will see, covertly, God. Pilate, he's perplexed. This man Jesus is an obvious stench to the rulers of the Jews, but he's caused no major issue with Rome. As a matter of fact, he even told the people to pay their taxes to Caesar. The charges brought against Jesus are of a religious kind that matters very little to Pilate except to do what he was supposed to do as a Roman governor, to keep peace and to keep justice in his region. The population of the city would double, maybe even triple during this time of year as multitudes would come to celebrate the Passover. Tensions between Jews and Rome could possibly be heightened. And this man Jesus, though seemingly innocent in Pilate's eyes, was severely disliked by the Sanhedrin and their followers. How would he possibly provide justice and peace and suppress the possibility of an uprising? The custom. The custom. He would release a prisoner. An inmate, normally of pettier crimes, would be loosed to the people as a sign of Rome's benevolent rule and sympathetic understanding of the Passover and its motifs of forgiveness and redemption. Yet to the Romans, it probably was more of a political play to appease the masses and act like a manufactured kindness. In the majority of these instances, the governor himself would determine which petty criminal would go. But this time, because Pilate finds himself in a precarious situation, this time, because he believes Jesus to be innocent but does not want an uprising, he's going to let the people vote. He decides to let the voice of the people be the judge. Vox populi, vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. However, Pilate knows he must make the choice so blatantly obvious that justice will also be served. He must pair one of the most notorious Roman criminals next to Jesus so that the verdict of the people will certainly match what Pilate considers to be actual justice. Barabbas. Barabbas. Only a fool would choose to let him go. He's the perfect mismatch for Jesus. D.A. Carson said this, Barabbas was a leistes, in Greek, one who seizes plunder. But in the hands of some first century authors, the word depicts not simply a brigand or a thief, but a terrorist from the Roman perspective, and a guerrilla from the nationalist perspective. And so when the NIV translates it that he took part in an insurrection or a rebellion, it's actually closer to the meaning of what Barabbas' actual charges were. Mark's gospel tells us he had participated in a bloody insurrection and was guilty of murder. So here's what we've got. It's Barabbas. He's more than a robber. He's violent. He's an insurrectionist. He's a vicious revolutionary. He's a murderer. Most likely sentenced to die. Most likely sentenced to be crucified. Placing a dangerous man like Barabbas next to Jesus would be like placing a hungry great white shark next to a goldfish and asking two parents which of the two they want to go home and swim in the pool with their kid in the afternoon. It's unmistakable which one poses the greater threat. The level of public danger was tilted in favor of Barabbas. They would never let him go free. Pilate's smart. It's not his first rodeo. He had found a way to keep peace and justice simultaneously. He thought justice and peace would be achieved by the guilty being punished and the guiltless going free. The plan is set. As you see in our passage, first he's going to announce his verdict to present justice. But then he will take a popular vote to keep peace. And so Pilate walks outside to the Jews after being inside with Jesus, and he declares, I find no guilt with this man. Justice has been declared. And now the public vote to secure peace. He invokes the custom of prisoner release. He presents Barabbas the great white and asks, so, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Surely the voice of the people would agree with him, but they don't. They shout, not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. Pilate's plan fails. The people make a foolish choice. The innocent is declared guilty, and the guilty declared innocent. The righteous is shackled, and the unrighteous is released. Set free. What utter foolishness. What utter foolishness. Why would a guiltless man suffer for the crimes of the guilty? What utter foolishness. Why would a man with no track record of wrong suffer punishment of a man whose charges would fill an entire scroll? What utter foolishness. Why would a sinless man suffer and a sinful man go free? What utter foolishness. Pilate thought justice and peace would be accomplished by the guilty being punished and the guiltless going free. But covertly, another plan was in place. A seemingly foolish one at that. For God's plan was justice and peace accomplished through the guiltless being punished, through the guilty going free. Jesus must take Barabbas' place. Jesus must take Barabbas' cross. Jesus must take your place. Jesus must take your cross. Paul puts it this way: for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Don't you see this gross injustice? Don't you see this foolishness? Don't you see the covert beauty of this foolishness? The sinless for the sinful, the guiltless for the guilty, the righteous for the unrighteous. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? How does your heart answer from where you sit even now? As if you were there in the crowd. Part of me wants to scream, yes, I do. Release the King of the Jews. Let the innocent one go. I don't want to be responsible for such a foolish decision. Do you understand what's going to happen to him if you don't let him go? They'll charge him as an insurrectionist when he's had no rebellion. They'll mock him as the King of Jews. They'll strip him of his clothes. They'll crown him with thorns. They'll provide him only with the covering of a purple robe before they strip him naked and they place a sign above his head that says, King of Jews. And they'll hang it over his lifeless, bloody, suffocating body. Please let him go. He doesn't deserve any of this. I do. I am Barabbas. I'm the guilty one, the rebel, the robber. I'm the one whose charges could fill a scroll. I'm the one who causes others around me to suffer because of my own anger, my own greed, my own lust, my own selfishness, my insecurity, my self-righteousness, my critical tongue. I don't deserve to be free. He does. Let him go. But another part of me wants to scream, no. I don't. I don't want you to release to me the King of the Jews. You can't let him go free. Injustice has to happen so salvation can come. Not only for me, but for those like me. Because if he does not die, we will. If he is not punished, we will be punished. I cannot pay for my sins, but he can pay for every one of them. I have no other hope save Jesus Christ crucified on a cross. I am Barabbas. I only go free if he gets punished. I have no other hope unless he stands in my place, suffers my punishment, and dies my death. If he does not perish, I cannot live. So don't release him. Don't let him go. Oh, the love of God through utter foolishness. The hymn we just sung says, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Jesus for Barabbas. What utter foolishness. What gloriously utter foolishness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.